Hey, good morning, church. Obviously, we're not meeting in person, but at the same time, it's neat to be able to work in this forum and to be with you in your homes and maybe in front of your phones or in front of your TV sets. But we're together in this. And, you know, for 14 years, we've had a privilege, a real privilege, of leading the eldership team and seeing the eldership team lead this church. And just want to say thank you for that journey. I've got some things out of scripture I want to share with you. But Teresa's also going to offer some thoughts. And yeah, so, hon?
Yeah, just wanted to say thank you. Many of you are friends, colleagues, and it's just been a joy to be part of the Village Church. Just really wanted to say thanks. Some of you we don't know as well. The church has grown over the time, but we are, we've loved our time here, and we've loved how we've been able to hand over the church to some amazing people. We've brought some amazing people onto our team, and you've got an amazing couple coming in, and we're really excited about that. So I just wanted to say thank you. Bless you guys. We love this church, and we love you. Bruce is going to carry on, and I'm just going to read the scripture at first, and then he will, which will lead into him speaking about his message this week. Thanks. So the scripture is in Numbers 6, 22 to 27, and it's the priestly blessing. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing." And this is the blessing, verse 24. "May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace." Verse 27, "Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will be with them."
Cool.
I'll see you later.
You will. Well, thanks for reading that scripture, Teresa. Obviously, it's the benediction that you'll be familiar with, and quite often it's maybe said at the close of a service. Well, I want to share it today. God's given me a little bit of a download, but also a sense of responsibility in this moment. This is my last message as the lead pastor or lead elder of the Village Church, which we've had the privilege of leading for 14 years. There's a responsibility you carry as the lead pastor, as a lead elder, but it's a responsibility that comes obviously with privilege, but there are things that God instructs us to do. And I feel as a lead pastor is in this last moment, this last message that I can bring, I want to unpack quickly what this prayer of blessing represents. And the In Village Church allow me the privilege this one last time to pray and to speak this over us as a church, hopefully with some revived and renewed understanding of what it means, and we can stand in that together. So this scripture, obviously chapter 6 comes after chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. Now, the book of Numbers, just really, really quickly, is 1 year out of captivity. They didn't probably understand at that point yet there was another 39 years to go. But in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, there's some stuff that happens as a prelude, as a lead-in to this blessing. Moses and Aaron are some of the key figures involved here. We've talked about Moses recently and about, you know, Joshua leading into the promised land and transitions of leadership. There's been talk about that just recently, and obviously it's current for us. But there's some interesting things that happen. If you read through the first five chapters of Numbers, you see that God spoke initially to Moses in the tabernacle, and he gave specific instructions for the people of God. So there was something on God's heart that he spoke to Moses about and said, "Moses, you do this and share this and lead the people of God into this." This people that had been in slavery, but were becoming the people of God, becoming Israel. This people that were embodied into the life of God. So that was an instruction. Where did Moses hear it? It wasn't in a wilderness moment. It wasn't up a mountain somewhere. It was in a tabernacle that had already been defined and established, a meeting place with God. So Moses was in a meeting place with God. And I've had the privilege over the last 14 years or so of finding myself in a meeting place with God on our behalf. So do all the elders that preach and handle the Word of God in this place. And I can honestly say, There's been a tabernacle moment leading into this. There's all sorts of things I wondered if I needed to preach about on this day, but this is the text. I believe it's come out of a tabernacle, a time of waiting on God. Anyway, this is what God said to Moses. And you see that as instructions came out, there's a number of things that happened. Like there was the identification of them as tribes, but also their leaders amongst the tribes. They registered the number of the troops. So people that were soldiers, people that were able to fight battles, people that were able to rise up and protect their people. So they registered who those people were. They organized their campsites. So this motley crew that had been wandering over the desert, getting used to not being a slave race, God began to bring structure and organization. This is who you are now. Be identified in your tribes, and here are your leaders. Register. Understand, there are people amongst you equipped and called to be soldiers that know how to fight on behalf of the rest of the camp. Organize your campsites. And so they did that. They appointed their priests. They assigned their duties. Each tribe had different duties and functions within the life of this embodiment that was becoming the people of God. And they also purified the camp. There was a sense where they started to understand what fitted and what didn't fit in being a child of God, being the people of God. There were some behaviors and rituals and things that they were engaged with that they realized they needed to stop being engaged with so that they could align their lives to the purposes of God. Prior to this, the Ten Commandments had already been given. So there was already instruction sort of moving around in their ears and probably stirring their hearts. But in this encounter that Moses had in the tabernacle, there was structure and order that began to be put in place. Here's your identity, guys. This is the identity. This is who you are in your tribe, and these are your leaders. Registering. Some of you are called to fight. Yep, fight. You're actually going to die for this as well. But you're going to protect and provide for the people that are a part of your community. Okay? You're organized into campsites. You're not just going to sleep or bed yourself down or intermingle willy-nilly. Now, this is structure. There's order in this because we want to bring the best out of each other. Appointing priests. Those that are set aside, but like the soldiers, priest set aside, called to be a part of the tabernacle moments, waiting on God on behalf of the wider people, ministering to the lost, ministering and pastoring to the needy, explaining and bringing instruction out of God's word, the priests. Assigned duties, households, tribes, making up the function of the nation. Purified their camp, I was already talking about this. And then defining what their offerings are. So you see that chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, these things are talked about. And it happens. So I'm not going to speak any more about that, but that's the prelude. That's what leads into this priestly blessing. And look, real quick, and I'm hoping it's quick, but you know me, don't you? So give me a little bit of latitude. This is my last moment. We're there, okay? So this benediction followed that process. And quickly, I just want to look us together. Like, who is this blessing from? Like, who's blessing who here? Number two, what is it? What is this blessing? What does it really mean and look like? How is it expressed and imparted to the people? So what's the tone and what's the method? And now what do we do with it? So who is blessing who? What is it, this blessing? How is it expressed, the tone of it, and then imparted? And what do we do with it? That's where we're going to go real quick. So who is blessing whom? It's really clearly, verse 22, God speaks to Moses and says, tell Aaron, the priests, the sons of Aaron, to bless the people with this blessing. And the blessing is from God. May the Lord bless you. So God's saying to Moses, I want to bless my people. I want to speak on it. So it's the Lord who's blessing them, not Aaron, not the priest, not Moses, the Lord. The Lord wants to declare his blessing over the people of God. Okay, so what is this blessing? What do we need to draw out of this? Well, it's interesting, again, looking at the text and in the context of other interpretations, different translations reflected in slightly different words that you hear words like smile. You hear words like a sense of joy. You hear different other English words describing a demeanor. And that's what this blessing is. The blessing is the approval and the pleasure of God. Like God's saying to the people of Israel, man, this gives me so much joy. What? What's the this? That you've come out of slavery. That you've come out of being in bondage and you're becoming the people of God. You're allowing me to turn your mourning into dancing and your sorrow into joy. You're allowing me to set you free. You're hearing my word and allowing my word to be a lamp unto your feet. This gives me so much joy. That's the blessing. That's the heart behind it. It's about a happy God expressing his pleasure over his people. And he's doing that in this context after he's seen, hey, you're beginning to know who you are. Wow, you know you can fight for this. Man, I can actually see how you're beginning to find your identity as well as tribes, as households, where you belong. And there's leadership that's been raised up and identified. Actually, priests are coming out of that as people find who they are and how they do this. Some of them have been raised up to be warriors and others have been raised up to lead in worship and in the delivery of God's word. There's this, all these things. And this blessing is exactly that. It's like God saying, this is so good. Man, I'm so pleased with what I'm seeing taking place. The Lord bless you. Feel my pleasure and my joy upon you. That's the blessing. And he goes on to explain what that is. And again, this was God describing to Moses what needed to be given to Aaron to proclaim over the people of God. So, God finding Moses in a tabernacle, Moses seeking God in the tabernacle, God giving him a holy download. Now, this is the instruction to the priests. I want them to speak my pleasure, my blessing, my joy over the people of God. That's what we're hearing. So it's God who does the blessing. And what he's wanting to bestow on us is an understanding of his pleasure. That pleasure is a bit similar. You read in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. You know, you're going to remember that in the beginning there was this void, blah, 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 blah. And God said, let there be light. And there was. He started to bring order where there was disorder. And he said, let this, that, that. And there's all these different aspects of creation that takes place. Well, in six different times within the early stages of Genesis, you read this phrase in English. And again, they used quite some different words in different translations. But this is genuinely the heart of it here. Six different occasions, the Lord says, this is so good. And I'm so pleased that I've done this. He looked and saw what he had done and he said, that is so good. Well, it's that type of language in this blessing. God's looking at the people of Israel and saying, man, I can see what's happening here. I'm seeing the way they're embracing the life that I'm calling them into. I'm seeing the way structure in life is coming. And that is so good. Man, it just pleases my heart. I'm going somewhere with this. You know, even Village Church, over the 14 years that I've been here, even though we're 104 years old, look, I'm sitting right now in the Gamma Room of the old brick church that used to be known as, a place designed and built as a tabernacle, a place where worship has resounded since 1953. I'm sitting here and we're recording this, but I know I've also tabernacled with God. I've inquired of God, what does he want to say? And over 14 years, I've already mentioned it, but over 14 years, God's brought some restructure to who we are as a church. He's brought a sense of understanding and identity to the roles and responsibilities we've carried. We've rethought what eldership is from a biblical perspective. And we've thought, okay, what do we need to adjust our life to? We've heard God talk to us about growing. We've heard God talk to us about expanding our borders. We've heard God encourage us to recognize leadership around other people and raise it up. And if you were here a few weeks ago when we met on the court in February, I shared my heart around that. So if you weren't there, that's a message maybe worthwhile listening to again, because I don't want to repeat it. But God's brought some structure and rearrangement in order that growth can take place in who we are as a church. And at different times, for sure, we've felt his pleasure. And I can honestly say, as a lead elder handing over now, there's an element of disorientation in the sense of my role coming to an end. But I want to tell you, there's a resounding joy in me. I'm so happy and so pleased and so blessed when I see and I experience the life that's around us in the village church. And I feel like, man, we can walk away, Teresa and I, knowing, yep, to our best, we've done what God's asked us to do. And we see the evidence of that, the smile of God, the blessing of God on the village church. And long may it go. Anyway, let's keep going. So what is it that he blesses us with? His pleasure and his favor towards us. It's just like, I'm so pleased with you. And then there's a sense of favor. He leans in and says, you know, there's more. There's more. There's more I'm calling you into, and there's more I want to provide for you. And actually, you need to understand that my name, my reputation, my empowerment, my creativity, my sovereignty now tabernacles with you, now walks with you, now is a part of who you are and how you do life. When I invoke my blessing, you know my pleasure, but you also know my favor. It's quite a cool picture. And, you know, Peter in the New Testament, and this is a scripture we've quoted a lot too at different times, Peter was talking about, you know, there's that sense of identity wrapped up in who the people of God should be. And some people embrace it and other people reject it. Some people argue about it. Some people adjust their thinking around it and enter into the life of it. And Peter's writing to the church at that time, and the particular church he was writing to, and he's talking about the different sort of movements and the different factions that can come up when people are trying to define for themselves what it means to be a child of God, where God has already defined what it is. And Peter's saying, hey, look, you're not like that. Church, you're not like that. For you're a chosen people. That means that actually you aren't here just by mistake. You've been chosen. God has looked out in time over an embodiment of people and says, I'll have you. I've chosen you. I've called you by name. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. That's Peter writing to the New Testament, but the language is the same that we just read about in the Old Testament, where God has taken a people from being broken and enslaved and leading them into the promises of who they are as identified by God and who they need to become through the outworking of his favor and grace and his benevolence towards them. It's just quite a cool picture. All right, so how is this expressed? And I've already been sort of given you a hint. What's the tone of this blessing? You know, is it stiff upper lip and, you know, mumbled? Is it sort of said in a rote sort of a way? It's just what we've always done. No, there's a sense of benevolence wrapped up in this. The tone is this: the sound of a pleased and benevolent father. Like, wow, that's my boy. Wow, that's my girl. Wow, that's my family. That's my people. That's the tone that we need to hear this in. And in the tone, there's an invitation to come into intimacy with him. He's saying, I want to show you my face. I want to show you and reveal to you my smile. Now, that must have flipped Moses out, because at another point early in the journey, coming out of slavery, Moses had said, can you show me your glory? And God had said, Moses, man, you don't know what you're asking. Like, in fact, there's a picture there where God said he had to shelter Moses' eyes at certain parts, walked and went in front of him because he didn't want Moses to be consumed. So Moses is now flipping out. He's probably thinking, God, I asked for that. And you sort of said no. But you're speaking a blessing in a way. You're saying, hey, you don't want people just to know about you and or just to feel your presence. You want them to know you. You want them to see the araha, the love, the sense of pleasure that's in your eye. It's been funny, isn't it? Oh, I'm getting sick of wearing masks. You getting sick of wearing masks? And how long are we going to have to wear them for? But I don't know. I've found I've had to smile more with my eyes. You know, when you meet people and I'm thinking, are my eyes smiling enough? Are my eyes actually projecting something that makes people feel comfortable around me? You know, whether I'm a church leader in that moment. I mean, you always are a church leader. But again, the tone here is benevolent, fatherly, and the invitation is to come into intimacy with him, knowing him, not just about him. Knowing him, not just feeling his presence, but feeling his love for you. And it's there, it's strong. Like, remember familiar scriptures like John 3:16? What's the lead into John 3:16? The emphasis about God giving his only begotten son, so that would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the fruit that comes up. But what's the motivation? For God so loved the world that he gave. And this blessing is about reminding us and giving us an image of that. A blessing that God says, I want to bring this blessing. And I want to use you priests to declare it over my people, because I want them to know that I'm happy about them. I want them to know that, man, my love for them is so strong. I want them to know that there's a sense of joy and pleasure in my heart towards them, and I'm so pleased that I've made them, and I'm so pleased that I've called them out of darkness, and I'm so pleased in the way that they're responding to the leading of my grace. So there's the sense of benevolence. And then this blessing, you know, know him, not just about him. Look, live in the life of his smile and look into his face. Know the protection of his love. You know that scripture in the New Testament, Paul wrote it, perfect love will cast out fear. Know the protection of God's love. Come into the wonder of God's love, and if there's fear or anxiety or other aspects wanting to crowd you in, hey, let's remind ourselves about the blessing of God. So to live in the life of a smile, to know the protection of his love, and to experience the gracious favor of his provision. It's like God can do whatever he wants. He's God. And God's saying, hey, I'm bringing my blessing upon you, my favor upon you. And I want you to hold on to it. Because in holding on to it, you'd come into the perfection of his peace. A peace that passes all understanding. Okay, so how is it imparted? By the priest. So there has a divine protocol to it, divine order. And I know in New Testament, scripture reveals and talks about the priesthood of all believers. I totally believe that. We're all called to be priests and ministers of the gospel to the people around us. We're all called to carry the good news of the kingdom. But, you know, my role, Dave's role, Brennan's role, Liam's role, Teresa's role, Carrie, others. God has called some of us to step out of marketplace roles and have a specific role within the life of this church. We're called by God to be elders. I've been called by God to be the lead elder of this church for this time. So there's a responsibility that I carry before God, but also a responsibility I can carry in God to you. And that was the responsibility that Moses saw that Aaron needed to carry as well. So God says, okay, how is it imparted? It's imparted through Aaron, the priests. And how is it imparted? By declaring it, by speaking it over the people of God. And verse 27 of Numbers 6 said, so as you declare this, you shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. So there's this impartation. As you speak it, the name of God comes over the life of the people that hear it. What does it mean? Well, in my household, you know, Teresa and I, she took my name. Like when we got married, there's that moment in a marriage ceremony, you know, where do you take this woman? Yes, I do. Do you take this man? Yes, I do. And, you know, there's the different aspects at the altar of God. And then at some point, there's a sense of that I now pronounce you to be husband and wife. And Teresa took my name. She took my name upon herself. And she's been Teresa Benge ever since. And she carries my name on her heart. And together, obviously, we had Hannah and Josh and Abby. And they grew up with my name, our name. They're part of our family. They have my name on their heart, and I have them on my heart. That's just a natural expression. Well, God's saying, priest, proclaim my name over the hearts of the people of God, chosen and called out of darkness. I want them to know my name because that becomes their name. Why? Because I'm calling them to be children of God. I'm calling them into my family, not just into a ritual, not just into a belief, not just into an escape plan, not just into the community of believers. I'm calling them into my family. I'm putting my name on their lives. Powerful. So, how is it imparted? By the priest? I want to put my name on them. Okay. And like I said, there's a sense of divine protocol here. This is the gathered community of God being instructed, being commended for what they've already done, and then a priest anointed and called by God, invoking a blessing of God upon the people of God. Where God says, I'm going to put my name over them, and I will bless them. Well, Village Church, maybe you're beginning to pick where this is going soon. This is my last message to you as the lead elder, as the lead pastor. And I'm going to pray this over us. Let's finish the thought first, because what do we do with this? Well, we position ourselves there under the smile of God. God isn't frowning at us. God's not shaking his head. He's not got a big stick and ready to smack us over the knuckles. Our benevolent God looks at us with pleasure. So we position ourselves there. We take that imagery into us. And we receive that. We receive the embrace of what God's wanting to say. And we embrace the identities wanting to provide for us and us to function and the favor that flows with it. We become children of God. And not just any God. Then again, let's remember, it's a God who smiles, a happy God. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's pleasure in God, and we need to realize, man, that becomes our strength because we have favor and identity and benevolent love poured towards us. And what do we do with this? I want to ask you for this privilege just this one last time, where as your pastor, I want to take this opportunity to speak God's blessing over and into you, Village Church, as God's instructed us to do. So, as you're sitting at home, or you're sitting in your life group, or wherever you're sitting right now, if there's people alongside you, can I ask you, stand together. And I'll stand with you as well. Actually, I better not. Camera's looking right at me. But just pretend I'm standing right now. I want you to stand and position yourself to receive something. And I want you to take the hand of the person that's around you, and don't be freaky with it, but this just connect together, because to be children of God means we're coming into a family and there's a sense of connection. So in your life groups, if you can, take the hand of the person alongside you. If social distancing doesn't allow at the moment, it's okay. Get that metaphor picture in your head. That's what we're doing. If you're on your own today, hey, in faith, I'm holding hands with you right now as a minister in the house of this God. So I want to speak this blessing over you. So here we go. Village Church, on this day, the 20th of March, 2022, I, as a elder, as a priest in the house of this church, in this tabernacle, in this embodiment of God's people, and this tribe that God has gathered together with its leadership that's been identified, it's my privilege as your elder, bringing governance at this time. Village Church, I want to say to you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face, his smile, his benevolence upon you and give you peace. So that, Village Church, our Heavenly Father will put his name afresh on your hearts as the children of God. And you will know the blessing of God as a consequence. It's been our privilege. It's been our absolute joy to have led you these last 5 years. It was 14 years. And to invoke this blessing, I do it with revelation and with understanding. Village Church, live the life that God's called you to live. Be the people that God's enabled and blessed you to be. Be the people that live under the benevolence and the smile of God. So now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours, now and forevermore. Amen.